Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who was Secretary of State Colin Powell's Chief of Staff, and discuss the nomination of Senator John Kerry to be the next Secretary of State, which will apparently sail through the Senate. Meanwhile, the expected nomination of Senator Chuck Hagel to be the next Secretary of Defense is under intense fire from the AIPAC lobby and neoconservatives, who are desperately trying to torpedo Hagel's chance of heading up the Pentagon. Then we'll continue the conversation and speak with Roger Morris, who served on the National Security Council under Presidents Johnson and Nixon until resigning over the invasion of Cambodia. We will look into the evolution of Lieutenant John Kerry, who testified against the Vietnam War that he fought in before the very same Senate Foreign Relations Committee he later came to head. We'll also discuss the explosive story the press are ignoring, the bombshell tape Bob Woodward uncovered that ended up in the style section of the Washington Post, revealing how Fox News tried to run General Petraeus for president. Then finally, we'll speak with Altanet's Washington Bureau Chief, Adele Stan, who attended the NRA's press conference where they proposed posting armed guards at every school in America. We will discuss why the gun lobby that has only 4.3 million members is able to wield so much power on Capitol Hill, and her article at Altanet.org, NRA's bizarre press conference, More Guns Now. And joining me now is Lawrence Wilkerson, who's a retired United States Army colonel and former chief of staff to the United States Secretary of State Colin Powell. In 2005, he went public with his knowledge that Vice President Cheney had provided the guidance that led to America's torture disgrace at Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, and elsewhere. Currently, he teaches courses at the College of William & Mary and George Washington University. Welcome to Background Briefing, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And as I mentioned in the opening, Colonel Wilkerson, Kerry's looks like he'll sail through the Senate and become the next Secretary of State. Conversely, the expected nomination of Chuck Hagel seems to be under intense fire. Where do you understand the fire is coming from? Who are the people that are trying to scuttle Chuck Hagel's nomination before it's even begun?
Ian, let me say first that I've known Senator Hagel either indirectly through Colin Powell and his close friendship with the senator, or lately myself directly for about 20 years, and there is no more decent man and more balanced foreign and security policy observer that I've known in my life. This is a man who cares about the national interest of his country, cares about the people, and expresses himself with some courage on both of those counts. And I think that's where the opposition is coming from. People in this country, on the extremes, do not like the truth. I think it was George Orwell who once said, in a society of lies, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Well, we live in a society of lies. And the liars who are coming after Chuck are predominantly amongst the crowd that is so fascinated with the state of Israel that it would sacrifice every interest America has on behalf of that state. Those are some of the people, because Chuck has taken a very balanced attitude. He knows the Palestinians exist. And he knows that their claim to the land that Israel claims in the West Bank and Gaza is just as strong as Israel's. And he knows that their plight is dire. And he knows that part of the reason for that is Israeli policy, particularly in the last few years under Bibi Netanyahu. So Chuck Hagel is apt to tell the truth about that, and people don't like that, especially Abe Foxman at the ADL or the Anti-Defamation League and other places like that, who strike and strike and strike and have no egalitarian bone in their body, have no bone for truth in their body. If it's against Israel, it is against the world, is their motto. So that's one place. Another place is he's made some very balanced statements, not unlike those of Secretary Gates when he was Secretary of Defense, and afterwards too, about Iran and about the folly, the utter folly of starting another war in Western Asia. He's made some very strong statements in that regard. And there's some other people too out there who are coming from different interest groups and so forth. But I think those are the two primary ones that you can call them neoconservatives, if you will, who really don't like Chuck because he tells the truth and he has a very balanced attitude about foreign and security policy.
But so when neoconservatives like Bill Kristol come out against Chuck Hagel, are they because he's so much a spear carrier for the neoconservatives, Kristol, his magazine Commentary, which was started by the very founder of neoconservatism, the impression I get is that the neoconservatives and the pro-Israel lobby have always had a lot of traction in the Department of Defense. They've had assistant secretaries at all level in the George W. Bush administration. I think every assistant secretary was a neoconservative, chief among them, of course, being Paul Wolfowitz, the architect in many ways of the Iraq War. The State Department is independent. The CIA is quite independent, but that's been where on the National Security Council, it's always been. It seems like a tradition that whoever's heads up the Middle East desk at the National Security Council under whoever administration it is, they're going to be very, very pro-Israel and approved by AIPAC. So is that the way it works in Washington? So in other words, the fact that somebody that's not already in the bag for AIPAC, like Chuck Hagel, they're going to fight him tooth and nail?
I think that's fairly true. Now let me point out quickly, I've done some work of late, last 2 years or so, for the J Street Group, Jeremy Ben-Ami's group, which has been set up, at least in part, to sort of counteract the right-wing extremism of AIPAC. So there are many, many people in America, many of them Jewish Americans, who don't look at AIPAC as being the real voice for Israel. And that's increasingly true as Jeremy and J Street gain more and more influence. For example, in the recent elections, I think they backed 71 different candidates, and 70 of them won their office. AIPAC can't boast anything even close to that. So J Street, with a more balanced attitude to the Israeli-Palestinian situation, and frankly, the reason I'm with them, a more realistic attitude about Israel's long-term security, not short-term security, long-term security. They're taking ground every day, every hour from AIPAC. So it's not as powerful as it was, but back to your statement, yes, it is still powerful. We still put, for example, people like Dennis Ross, whether we're Republicans or Democrats, we put people like Dennis Ross, who's nothing more than Israel's lawyer, proved it at Camp David 2 and Taba, essentially helping Barack sabotage those talks. We still put them in very influential positions. Elliot Abrams, a convicted felon, comes back into the government. Douglas Feith, just short of being a convicted felon, comes back into government and has influence. So, yes, these people are very well organized. They're ruthless. They have a vision, and they carry out that vision whenever they can. They have people in and out of government who are with them. But I think their days are numbered, at least I hope they are, because things are turning against them rather massively. And they have been doing that since the utter folly of the invasion of Iraq in 2003. So I'm hoping they're losing influence, and I'm hoping that if Chuck Hagel is nominated, the president and he both will stick it out, because I know he can be confirmed.
And Colonel Wilkerson, also in coming to Chuck Hagel's defense, apart from the J Street liberal pro-Israel lobby.
Well, they're not. I wouldn't call them liberal. I would call 65% of Jewish Americans liberal by their voting record, both domestic and international. But I wouldn't call J Street liberal. They're still very much conservative in the sense they're for Israel security. It's just they have an entirely different view, and I think more accurate view, of how that security is ensured than the neocons do.
Sure. Well, I was going to say, though, that an Israeli-born, Omaha-based rabbi who's known Chuck Hagel for many years said that the charges that against the former Nebraska senator and potential nominee for Secretary of Defense, that he's somehow anti-Israel or anti-Semitic, are extremely stupid. Quoting R.A. Azriel, the rabbi at the Temple Israel in Omaha, Nebraska. I thought we were done with this, he said. You know, I thought we were done already with this childishness of being Jewish, where everyone who says something critical about Israel needs to be labeled as anti-Semitic. I find this extremely stupid and definitely not helpful.
I read his remarks, and I agree with him 100%. I would just I would argue with the semantics there just slightly. I don't think anyone, except a true anti-Semite, is against Israel. We're not against Israel. I'm not against Israel. I'm very much for the Israeli people. I'm for the state of Israel, and I'm for its long-term genuine security. I think Chuck Hagel is the same way. We are not for, necessarily, Avigdor Lieberman, Bibi Netanyahu, and that cast of characters arranged around them, who have created a situation now where one out of five Israeli citizens is a settler, where the ultra-Orthodox groups in Israel who do not serve, by the way, sort of like Dick Cheney in this country, are so influential that they're now driving Israeli policy. And it's a very short-sighted policy. It's not aimed at a two-state solution and peace. It's aimed at occupying territory, eventually turning that territory over to Israeli territory and over to Israeli citizens. Look at the settlements. That's all you have to do to know that. So we're not against Israel. We're not against the future security of Israel. We're very much for it. But we're against this stupid government that's in power right now.
Again, I'm speaking with Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who's a retired United States Army colonel and former chief of staff to United States Secretary of State Colin Powell. In 2005, he went public with his knowledge that Vice President Cheney had provided the guidance that led to America's torture disgrace at Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, and elsewhere. And currently, he teaches courses at the College of William & Mary and George Washington University. So when you talk about Israel's long-term security, Colonel Wilkerson, I must say that I have a lot of friends in Israel, and I'm deeply concerned for Israel's future. It has gotten so dramatically worse recently, particularly with the ascendance of these right-wing governments. And the diaspora, as you point out, that most Jewish Americans, about up to 70%, voted Democrat and tend to be liberal, as opposed to AIPAC, the lobby that speaks for them, that's very, very right-wing and dominated by the Sheldon Adelsons and the big money people that give their money to Mitt Romney, who's a friend of Bibi Netanyahu's, and there's no question that Netanyahu tipped his hand in the last election, and it certainly appeared to be interfering. But if you just look at the neighborhood, the Sinai now is completely porous and chaotic and ungovernable. And then you've got Syria about to probably turn much more hostile to Israel with the Muslim Brotherhood government, as is the government now in Egypt. King Hussein is barely holding on in next door in Jordan, with whom Israel has a peace treaty, and he's 65% of the population there are Palestinian. They're under tremendous pressure from refugees from Iraq, from Cheney's folly in Iraq, and also refugees from the Syrian war. This whole area is a tinderbox. So for all those decades when Israel was immensely powerful, and it is still a military superpower, a lot of people would say, you know, that they're surrounded by people who want to kill them, and it was all hyperbole back in those days. But it's less and less hyperbole today. They are surrounded by a lot of people who want to kill them.
Well, they are surrounded by a lot of people who want to kill them, and they're surrounded increasingly by the world. If you look at the vote, for example, on the U.S. blockade of Cuba, our so-called embargo, 186-2 last year, and I think 187-3 this year, with Israel being in both years one of the few substantial countries that votes with us. This is the kind of isolation that we are getting into vis-a-vis Latin America because of Cuba, and it's the kind of isolation far more dangerous that Israel's getting into because of its policies. Israel has turned itself from the 1948 founding, where it was basically a socialist state, into an ultra-predatory capitalist state, where 12 or 13 families own 70% of the wealth. The security complex owns 51% of the land. Yes, 51% of the land. And Israel is dominated by a plutocracy, not unlike the way we're becoming dominated. And this has turned Israel on its head. It's destroyed its labor movement. It's destroyed its egalitarian policy. It certainly is no socialist state anymore, not by the stretch of the imagination. Israel has transformed itself into a garrison state run by a wealthy elite, and at the same time isolated itself not just in the Mediterranean but in the world. You're right. Israel is a deeply, deeply threatened country right now. And the situation around it, as you've described, with Morsi in Egypt, with King Hussein about looking like he's about to lose it in Jordan, with Assad already having lost it in Syria and no one knowing what the results are going to be, with Hamas able to win elections more than anyone else, with Hezbollah poised on the other border, Israel is in deep, deep trouble. And her IDF, as good as it might be, is not the kind of counter for the threat that they present now. They're the same kind of threat we're facing now all around Israel. The threat is Hezbollah. The threat is terrorism. The threat is asymmetrical. It's not the kind of threat you can roll tanks out and defeat. Look at us in Iraq. Look at us in Afghanistan. That's what Israel is confronting. So it needs desperately to come to terms with the threats around it and to develop some kind of peace plan that's feasible, workable, and comes to fruition and creates a Palestinian state living side by side with it in peace. Indeed, it needs that, if for no other reason, to get rid of the isolation that's created around itself, so it'll have some friends again other than the United States. Let me just hasten to add that one morning we're going to wake up in this country, and this is a great This is a profound fear of mine. We're going to wake up in this country, and suddenly the majority of the American people are going to say, why the hell are we even connected to with that little pipsqueak in the eastern end of the Mediterranean that causes us so much problems? And that's going to be the end of Israel's security. And we don't need to have that happen, but we're going to have it happen if we don't change policies and we don't change actors and we don't start looking at the world through a different set of lenses, a set of lenses that says peace in the eastern Mediterranean is the best thing, and the way to start that is with a settlement to the Israeli-Palestinian situation.
And it's worth noting, Colonel Wilkerson, that already Europe has turned against Israel. They were staunch defenders in the beginning, particularly France. And in many ways, I think it's the diaspora, the right-wing diaspora that supports AIPAC, that have also pushed Israel to the right, along with the immigrants from the former Soviet Union. Recently, Ehud Olmert, the former Likud prime minister, castigated an American audience of AIPAC by saying, you people are really quick to want to have us all die, for yep. your wars,
Yep.
I mean, there is that factor, I think, at play here.
There is, and your point about the Russian immigrants is a good one. Not all of them, of course, but many of them are the sort of people like Avigdor Lieberman, for example, who have come out of 70 years of a society that didn't know the daylight. And I don't know whether it's the security aspect of that, the threat aspect of that, the life-threatening aspect of that, that they are reacting the way they are in Israel, or if it's just the fact that they've come out of a state that was purely authoritarian and they want to turn Israel into such a state. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that their influence, by and large, is not good.
So we don't know whether the president's going to, one, announce Hegel's candidacy, or two, stick by him. I guess that's the situation, just because I wanted to get on to Kerry in the last few minutes. What's your reading on that, Colonel Wilkerson?
I think John Kerry will make a good Secretary of State. I have the same problem with him, if you will, that I would have had Richard Lugar been made Secretary of State, having dealt with both Dick Lugar and John Kerry in their positions on the SFRC when I was Chief of Staff to Secretary Powell, and Secretary Powell was essentially dealing with Joe Biden as much as he was dealing with anyone else, because Joe Biden was one of the few characters on the SFRC from whom we could get an honest answer and who we knew, whenever we talked to him, knew what he was talking about. I have the same problem with Dick and John. It just is that they seem to have lost their spines. They seem to have lost their moral courage. They don't ever want to take a position that's against the conventional wisdom. They sometimes will do it in private. They sometimes will will hint at it in public, like, for example, on the Cuban embargo, which is the stupidest policy on the face of the earth, or like, for example, the hard-line policy we've taken towards Iran, where sanctions equals our diplomacy. We say we're for diplomacy, but all diplomacy is sanctions, ever-tightening sanctions, ever-crippling sanctions, as Secretary Clinton has said. So if they're not the kind of people who are going to stand up to some of this baloney and be counted, then I don't think they're going to be any better than anyone we've had in the past. And that's my biggest concern with John Kerry, that he has a spine, that he has moral courage, and that he takes some positions that are, let's say, not conventional wisdom, particularly with regard to Iran and Cuba.
Well, Senator, I suddenly was promoting you to Senator. Well, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson.
Please don't.
I thank you so much for joining us, Colonel Wilkerson, and I hope you have a very happy Christmas.
You too, and take care.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Lawrence Wilkerson, who's a retired United States Army colonel and former chief of staff to United States Secretary of State Colin Powell. In 2005, he went public with his knowledge that Vice President Cheney had provided the guidance that led to America's torture disgrace at Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, and elsewhere. Currently, he teaches courses at the College of William & Mary and George Washington University. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking further about these nominations and also about the bombshell story that Bob Woodward uncovered that the press are ignoring.